Hello and welcome to this new episode of FinTech's Coffin podcast. I am Michael Paris, and in today's episode, we explore the role of artificial intelligence, AI, in streamlining compliance within the financial sector. And we thought this would be a relevant topic because FinTech Scotland, as some of you might know, recently set up the Financial Regulation Innovation Lab in collaboration with the University of Strathclyde and the University of Glasgow. So for the purpose of this episode, we'll call it FRIL because it's quite a long name. And the purpose of FRIL is to progress financial regulation across the UK. And currently, we're in the middle of the first FRIL innovation call around simplifying compliance through AI. And we are working with 17 fintechs from all around the world, really, as far as Canada, that have been selected by our judges to collaborate with some of the leading financial institutions in the UK, like Aberdeen, Morgan Stanley, Tesco Bank, Virgin Money, and Deloitte. So in this episode, we'll look at how these collaborations aim to simplify the regulatory process, the AI potential to transform compliance, to make it more efficient, but also to drive better consumer outcomes. So to do that, with me today, I've got three fantastic guests involved in the FRIL Innovation Call. We've got Anthony Brooks with us, who is head of UK investment compliance at Aberdeen. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here. So I'm Anthony Brooks. I head up investment compliance for Aberdeen. I am particularly interested in AI from a risk mitigation and compliance perspective, making sure that where we are taking on AI technology or introducing it within our firm, that we're doing that with the correct guardrails, that we're not effectively creating increasing our existing risks, as well as thinking about all the good things about AI and how AI can help us in our work.
That's great, and we can discuss that a bit further later on, and we can look at the things that are keeping you up at night as well, the risk around AI, but also the benefits. We're also joined today by Joanne Seagrave, Head of Regulatory Affairs at Tesco Bank. How are you, Joanne?
Hello, nice to speak to you all. Yes, I head up Regulatory Affairs at Tesco Bank, and I have been involved with FRIL very recently to support the use case about regulatory change. So certainly the regulatory landscape is extremely busy, and something that keeps me up at night is keeping up to date on all the regulation. So certainly the collaboration recently with FRIL has opened my eyes to what I can see in the future from AI and technology. So I'm really excited to be here today.
Well, that's great. I've got a few questions about the future, so I'll make sure that we start with you later on. And finally, we've got Mark Cummins, who is Professor of Financial Technology at the University of Strathclyde, joining us today. Hi, Mark. How are you? Pleasure to have you here.
Excellent. Thanks. Thanks, Mikhail. All good on my side. I'm Mark Cummins, Professor of Financial Technology at the University of Strathclyde, work within the Strathclyde Business School. Actually, as part of that role, I lead up the FinTech Cluster, which is one of the six strategic clusters that the university has as the mechanism to connect in with industry through the Technology Innovation Zone, and that connects into the Glasgow City Innovation District area. My role within FRIL is as lead investigator at the University of Strathclyde, where myself and colleagues and our team are providing input across expert research, across skills development, and connecting those two areas to the innovation call that we're talking about today, and obviously then the subsequent innovation calls that are to come across the other teams. So we're very interested in, I suppose, cutting edge kind of research ideas around the application of AI. So that's integrating AI into automation, the concept of explainable AI, is core to what we're focused on. And obviously the hot topic of generative AI is something that we are exploring as well. So very happy to be here. So thanks.
Busy man, by the sound of it, busy man. So, and maybe let's start with a question for you, because a kind of general questions about the financial sector and AI. What role does AI currently play in financial compliance? Because that's what we are talking about today, financial compliance. And how have you seen, or do you see it evolve in, you know, the next year or so?
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting for us actually to explore this with the industry partners. And I think there is definitely an interest and an appetite in using the power of AI more, but there are certain kind of cautions that industry has in relation to AI. So I suppose, interesting enough, I think there's kind of two sides of this. There is the role that AI can play to simplify compliance, which is the team at Innovation Call that we have here. But we do know as well, there's a whole raft of regulations around AI itself, around AI systems, which have come through from the UK and from the European Union and more broadly. And so it kind of creates this interesting dynamic where there is huge potential for AI to simplify compliance, yet the AI systems themselves have to be compliant with regulations. And so that's an interesting kind of two sides to this coin that need to be investigated. I think again, it's about trying to, you know, address both sides of that simultaneously, so that AI can be adopted and so that you can lower these barriers to adoption, while of course managing any kind of associated risks and uncertainties that might hold around a system. But I think we see a lot of opportunity. The reason we're kind of focused on explainable AI, for example, and actually we're kind of integrating that with the idea of fairness techniques, is because explainability and fairness, for example, are explicitly called out within these AI regulations. And then with generative AI, there's just huge potential in terms of the power that generative AI brings. I mean, it really is a step change. So again, we're looking at how that can be used to support ESG reporting, for example, maybe to engage with consumers on a kind of a 24/7 real-time basis through generative AI systems. So there's lots of opportunities there. But again, risks and uncertainties do need to be managed.
Of course. And Joan and Tony, from your side, working in those large established financial institutions, can you give us example or specifics around compliance and issues that you're trying to solve or thinking about solving with AI?
Yeah, I mean, I might pick up on what Mark was talking about, that at the moment, for example, in AI, there's a lot of regulation coming out on that topic, but on a daily basis, our team are on top of all the regulations coming out of the many regulators that we deal with. So whether it's the Conduct Authority or the Prudential Authority, there's many regulations coming out every day. At the moment, we do still perform very much a manual process, and that's really where I'm coming to the benefits of AI, is to where we can really work with fintechs and work with yourself in the academic side to see what the opportunities are. We want to make sure we're always on top of the regulation. We want to comply. Ultimately, it's all about making sure the consumer gets the benefit from a safe and reliable organisation. So every day we are performing a manual process, whereas our eyes have really been opened from the fintechs, that there's a lot of opportunity there to make it more effective, productive, and really benefit from safely using AI. So certainly what Mark was talking about, we're keeping on top of the EU AI Act, but also the many regulators. I think both the CMA and ICO have been very active recently, and then the FCA itself has come out with principles. So it's a lot to keep on top of. So if there's any way AI can make our lives easier, and we can direct our brains to the subject matter expertise, that's what we want to do.
I think that although there's lots of AI regulation coming out quite recently, I think that the risks that we have with respect to AI, to implementing AI, is all the same old risks that we've had historically. And implementing AI into our current processes could end up, could end up with a client receiving information that's not representative of the investments that they've invested in, or a trade error happening on our dealing desk, or all of those. And I see that although there's lots of AI regulation coming in, it's how AI interacts with our business and how those more traditional fundamental risks could occur due to using AI as a root cause. And I think we saw this with this is a much lesser it's much lesser than using AI, but where firms started using lots of automation and they had automated trade flow processes. So ESMA brought out algo regulation within MiFID II. I think the risks were all the same. It's just that there's a new process which could cause those risks that exacerbates those existing risks. With respect to things that the firm could do to use AI effectively, I think that there's lots and lots of places where AI can be used effectively. And in implementing it, it's thinking about what is the potential impact of AI causing problems. So a good example of where I think AI could be useful, where it's relatively low risk of causing problems, is something like surveillance. So we perform market abuse surveillance, and all financial institutions more or less will perform some form of surveillance or AML surveillance. In those instances, if something goes wrong with the AI, the worst case scenario is that you've got lots and lots of false positives, or your monitoring isn't as effective or resource effective as possible. So I think that's an example where the worst case scenario impact is not is relatively low compared to what other impacts that it could cause, like a client receiving inaccurate information, for example. So I think there's lots of instances where AI can be used across the business, such as that.
And in the investment practices, do you see AI being able to enhance compliance as well?
Yes, definitely. So I think with respect to surveillance, I think yes. I also think that now more and more financial institutions, if you ever go on to renew your insurance, for example, and try and phone them, they'll have a chat bot that has at least automation built into it, but could argue some of them have AI. But things like that, where if you've got things that are very relatively simple, like our policies, internal policies, where somebody could ask a question about our personal account dealing policy that is very simple, and instead of a person having to answer that question, you could have a chatbot that answers that question very, very quickly and effectively. I think things like that are the beginning of firms using AI. All firms and are trying to come up with ways of using AI effectively. So I think it's going to be a slow burner, but I think it's something that we all need to persevere with to be able to get the long term benefits from.
Yeah, I was just actually going to mention, I totally agree. All firms are in that tipping point at the moment, and one thing that's very much at the forefront is the fact that the underlying data that might be used within the models or the AI technology, there's a lot of focus at the moment in making sure that's trustworthy, there's integrity, there's no bias. So there's a lot to do in that space in terms of data governance. And certainly what we've seen is the regulators themselves are very much data-led at the moment. So anything in that space is now top priority for the firms. And just in terms as well about making sure there's a safety net, if you like, I'm quite encouraged that the regulators themselves have come up with the sandbox idea, which has been around for a while, but I think is really getting traction within the AI community, and whether fintechs or firms themselves can use the sandbox to almost have that safety net that they can go through this innovation program and make sure we still remain compliant. So quite interesting developments at the regulators as well.
Thank you. And Mark, how do you, from the research that you've conducted with your team, how do you see, or how do you balance innovation with regulatory compliance? How do you foresee AI changing this balance? Is it going to make it better or worse?
Yeah, I mean, it's again a really interesting question. I mean, I guess in terms of innovation and regulation, you know, often they're seen as you know, there's a bit of a tension almost between the two. But I think there's a growing appreciation that actually, you know, regulation can enable innovation, and I think that's a key focus of FRIL. And I guess what we're trying to do through FRIL's activities and certainly the role that actual research can play here is to, I suppose, demonstrate how AI can support actually innovation and enable innovation. But again, it has to be done in a very kind of controlled way that doesn't create risks for the organization. And go back to Anthony's point, you know, there's probably different kind of levels of materiality where that becomes an issue. So there can be kind of, you know, and you see this reflected in the EU AI Act, you know, there's kind of safer applications of AI, and then there's more serious kind of concerning applications of AI. And this way they have this kind of risk materiality kind of approach that they use. So I think again, my view would be that, yeah, regulation, the point of it is to enable innovation, and I think as both parties, so regulators and those that need to comply, understand each other more. I think the greater that we can actually have this kind of stimulation of innovation, and I probably just wanted to actually circle back a little bit just to point about organizations. I mean, I think what's quite interesting is, you know, from various discussions we've had, you know, often there's a kind of a focus on kind of the accuracy of AI systems. You know, you look at the regulations, and even if you look at the pro-innovation approach that the UK has taken, you know, their key principles that they outline, you know, they don't speak to accuracy. They speak to things like safety, security, transparency and explainability, fairness, accountability and contestability. So I think there is a kind of a strategic discussion that has to happen within organizations where these types of requirements need to be traded off against one another. So just to give an example, if you look at accuracy and fairness, there's actually an inverse, accuracy and explainability, there's an inverse relationship. So trying to achieve greater accuracy in AI system can actually create an issue where it's less explainable. And so actually you need to get a trade-off. So again, I think for organizations, as they go through their AI journey, it's about trying to be able to balance all of those key pillars that underlie the regulatory approach around AI systems.
And that's very interesting. And, you know, in terms of innovation within, and that balance with innovation and regulation, sometimes in established financial firms, that can be a big hurdle to overcome. I was wondering whether Joanne or Anthony, you feel like your organizations, or I don't want to pick on anyone, but the sector generally is ready for AI, or whether you find yourself through FRIL having to sell AI internally still, or is it coming from the top?
I mean, I think, in terms of banking as a whole, we see opportunities in AI technology. So certainly it's an open-minded approach to AI, but always coming back to the fact we need to make sure we have the compliance and the, you know, 100% the customer outcome at heart. So it is a tension within firms, because obviously you've got your innovators working with your compliance and risk teams, but I've actually seen a really encouraging collaboration on this topic at the moment. So we want to, you know, as a compliance function, we want to 100% be there to support in these developments. So yeah, that's, in fact, that's part of the reason we got so involved in Thrill, just to open up our avenues about what the fintechs are doing, what the academics are doing, and just learn more. I think learning is key at the moment.
Okay, oh, that's good, very positive. So then, looking ahead and with what's been happening with Thrill, which is really much around collaboration between fintechs, large financial institutions, academics, how do you see that collaboration evolving? We're nearing the end of this first innovation call. Do you see yourself now in a position where what you've seen from the innovators is something that could be taken into your businesses, or there's still some work to be done? What would, I guess, qualify as a positive achievement for you?
I think that from the conversations that I've had, there's certainly the potential to be able to do everything that we've asked and everything that we're thinking of in our suggestions. I suppose it's a question of, can it be done pragmatically? Can it be done, cost effectively, insofar as it's effective to implement in the business. I think that even if it all comes to nothing, I think that it's all still good for not just us, but also the fintechs, because I think that as time goes on, they're learning more about us as an industry. And I think we are also learning more about what's possible and what's not possible, and where's best to focus your attention when we think about AI.
Yeah, I would agree, Anthony. We've definitely had our eyes opened by just the interactions so far with the fintechs, and certainly from really small startups to quite developed products, it's eye-opening what can be done through AI. So I think it changes your mindset, because obviously the manual process has worked for our team for many years, and we've got reliance on it, but it's now time to look ahead and think where we can actually apply the innovation and make sure that our team can spend time on real added value. So I think it's just been a great first step, but lots more to come, and certainly what's opened my eyes has been the opportunity to connect, and I've done a couple of courses through the universities as well. So just starting to upskill the team has also been a real welcome addition to our collaboration. So thank you for involving us.
When we're talking about manual processes, are we thinking about manual processes in regulatory development, you know, processing all new regulatory developments that come out, and then processing them and sending them out to the right teams to be able to be analysed?
That's our use case. So it's essentially regulatory change or horizon scanning, which is very manual at the moment. And certainly we've had really good feedback from the fintechs that there's definitely opportunities there. So we're looking forward to hearing more from them quite shortly.
Yeah, I've also, that's not our use case, but I think that's a one that I've thought of in the past and tried to think about how that could be automated in some way. But I think I kind of ran into things like where it's not obvious that you might be in scope of the regulation. Say, for example, asset managers asset managers that are only institutional asset managers reviewing EMIR obligations, for example, where in practice asset managers apply controls on behalf of their clients who hold the regulatory obligation to ensure that they're compliant with EMIR, or MiFID II trade reporting. It's generally falls on the trading venues and the investment firms, or the sell side, but sometimes it does fall on the buy side, and it's not entirely obvious from reading the regulation if it does fall on the sell side or the buy side. Things like that, when you get into the implied regulation, I think it gets really, really difficult. But it'd be I'm sure that someone somewhere will get to the point where AI can do that.
Yeah. I mean, we do apply a lot of expertise to that read across from different industries and different regulations. So we certainly are noting the fact that we would still see it as a co-pilot operation, that you would still need some level of that intervention and expertise. But perhaps the drudge side of the process could be much more automated. So that's where we're getting to that co-pilot position with the AI.
Thank you. And just a quick question to wrap up, really, because we've been speaking about efficiency, we've been speaking about potentially cost reduction. I'm keen to talk very quickly about customers or clients. And do you think they are ready for AI technologies in the sense that you're dealing with money here? And there's that balance between getting better services, but also the confidence in the technology. Do you think the market is ready for this type of solution?
I mean, I would think a lot of people are concerned about things like data privacy and bias within the AI. But in actual fact, there has been a real swell of interest. So people are want to see the innovation, want to see what's the art of the possible. Certainly within, just going back to the very start when Anthony mentioned about risk management, I think that's where actually risk and compliance have a really strong role to play to protect the customers, and therefore if the frameworks and the policies work, they balance the risks. So yeah, I think people are ready, but certainly there's a general feeling of you don't want to rush ahead and have to deal with a disaster, so to just take your time, and testing and learning is very much the way forward.
Sydney, would you say the same thing? Because obviously you're dealing with, as an asset manager, with also big institutional clients, which might have a different approach. I mean, there's a few firms out there that are supposedly managed by AI already. Do you see that as being the future, or is it currently just maybe a test? And what's been people's reaction to those type of firms?
I don't really see AI in the short term being used directly with clients. I think before that there's a stage where we look at it internally and say, well, this process is low risk. This is a good place to test AI. This is a good place to start trying to use AI internally, and then branch out to more sophisticated things. Because I think as soon as you start talking about clients, then you start thinking about client outcomes, and you need to be able to control that AI to ensure that clients are not going to have poor outcomes. And I don't think we're, you know, as I said before, I think we're at the infancy stage. I don't think we're there yet, but I am aware that there are funds that are completely AI. I think that you'd need to be a real specialist in AI to be able to launch something like that and have a background. I'd suspect that the firms that are doing that are AI specialist type firms.
Okay. So baby steps and testing before running, which is good. Mark, if I can maybe finish up with you, because of your role and the research that you've done, can you inspire us with what's coming next and tell us a bit more about some of the great things you've seen out there?
In terms of AI?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, again, I suppose we go back to the things that we're kind of focused on. I think in terms of, say, the pushing of the envelope around explainability and explainable AI techniques, that's something that's, I think, really, really intriguing. And maybe just going back to that point there about consumer adoption and how ready the market is. I think going back to those key principles of the UK's approach to AI regulation and the EU's likewise, you know, it does focus on those things that are going to build trust and break down barriers. So again, people being sure about the security and the safety of these systems, you know, understanding they need to be transparent and explainable. They need to be fair in how they make decisions and support decisions. They need to be accountable, and then you need to have some form of redress when things go wrong. And for me, I think that's the kind of exciting part. I think there's lots of technical developments, but it's how we kind of impress on those kind of key pillars through some innovations like explainability. That's what I think is really kind of exciting. I guess with generative AI, because there's so much hype, I mean, that's again because we can focus on this, there is huge potential with generative AI, but there is so much that is still not understood and known, and I guess it'll be really interesting to see where things move in that direction. I suppose just as a sense of where we're going, and we presented some of this at the innovation call, you know, we've obviously been looking at large language models. One of our research associates, Hao Zhang, has been looking at large vision models. We've now started to integrate those two together so that you could have a digital kind of interface that you can verbally interrogate and then get, you know, generated AI content back at you that is verbally communicated as well. I mean, those kind of innovations are really kind of exciting. So I think there's lots of exciting things that's going to happen around generative AI. But I think there's more subtle kind of excitement around the ways in which these key pillars that we now talk about in regulations can be demonstrated and proved and showcased. And all of that then ties back to building confidence within organizations to adopt and roll out AI. And then ultimately, as Anthony mentioned, to then move up to more high risk stakes where you're actually interacting with your consumer base or your investor base. So yeah, so I just think there's a lot of exciting things on the horizon.
Fabulous, great to hear. I'm afraid that's all the time we've got today, but I would like to thank you again for your participation, Joanne, Mark, and Anthony. It's been great to hear from all your perspectives, and I would like to say thank you for our listener for subscribing. Always more and more people subscribing every week, so it's great to see that, and we will see you in a couple of weeks for our next episode. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.